Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Ed, this is Tuesday, August the 19th, 2025, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Countdown is on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm glad you remembered. A week from today is my birthday.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for the countdown.
No, hey, it's our pleasure.
This
we weren't even thinking about that at all.
Remember that?
We're glad that you brought that up.
I thought maybe that's what you meant.
We didn't forget.
Gift cards are welcome. Just send them to Ed.
No, don't do that because a couple people actually have done that, and the gift cards get stolen out of them in the mail.
Yeah, in the mail.
I'm just telling you. So, folks, you can just pay for me. Yeah.
How do you steal a gift card out of the mail unless you know what it is?
They just opened the card. How did I know? Because the person said in there, hope you enjoy this gift. It was a gift card to Pizza Hut.
Was it taped? Was it opened and retaped?
No, it wasn't retaped. They just opened it in a mailroom somewhere, and it came here to AFA opened. But inside it said, hope you enjoy this Pizza Hut
gift card.
I've
heard of that before.
So I communicated with the person and said,
hey, send it again.
No.
This is where I do have a fault. Yeah. They're rare. Yeah. Occasionally, I do have a fault. This is where my wife probably would stop me and tell me to move on.
Yeah,
quit obsessing over this.
Yes.
Okay, but I've got it. I'm following what you're saying here.
Yeah,
I'm trying to understand. You're saying the letter.
It was a card. It was a birthday card.
Arrived on your desk.
Yes, here at work.
Already opened.
Yes.
Of course, we do open a lot of our mail here.
Right.
Already opened. The card was taken. The gift card was taken out.
Yes.
But the message was still in there.
Yes. On the card, it was lovely lady.
It didn't slip out.
No.
You would think somewhere along the way, if a letter was completely open and the card was taken, maybe the note would also slip out.
No, it was a birthday card and a gift card in it.
Gotcha.
And the gift card
this
had
been
removed.
This is why I need to not obsess with
it. I want to tell you, I enjoyed the pizza, too. It was really good.
Yeah. Now we know who got your card.
No.
All right, so, Steve, anyway, countdown to Alaska, right?
We're heading out. Today I have a list of, like, 18 things I have to get done. And then tomorrow, one of them is take my dog to the kennel. And then we are going to drive tomorrow to Memphis, Tennessee, and fly to Seattle.
Direct?
No, stopping in Denver.
Okay.
And then we get a hotel in Seattle, and then Thursday morning we get a shuttle from the hotel to this cruise ship, and then I don't care where. I'm told where to go from
that's
there.
That's called embarking.
Embarkation.
Isn't that that's the right word?
He's embarking.
You're
on
embarking.
A journey.
Yes. Hey, you know, I'm excited, though. I'm excited for a number of reasons. I love cruising, and this is going to be great. And I love spending time with my wife and everything. You guys are in for a treat, too, though, because Parrish Alford is going to be sitting in here for me.
He is, yes.
Parrish is one of our writers. He's really in charge of turning some of the audio stories that we do here on at AFN to put them on the web. So I don't write for... I write for speech, like to speak. So my writing needs to be changed a little bit to appear on a page. He'll do that. He does that. But he's a former sports writer. You guys, if you want to talk sports, you can go
all day long.
Oh, yeah,
I've known Parrish for a long time. He talks good English, too.
He talks good English.
He really does, huh?
So he's
it's
a great
his first
guy.
Language.
I think you're going to like him.
His first language.
So, we're looking forward to it. What's your first news story, Steve?
Well, you know, Christians around the world, especially in America, and specifically evangelical Christians, are praying for our president. Not only that he's successful in what he does, but that his relationship with Jesus... We want him to be a Christian. If he's not, to become a Christian, that's the debate. Is he? Is he not? No one can tell. I don't know. He did have a little conversation this morning with Fox News. and he was talking about solving the wars that he solved, and it kind of bled into this discussion we're having right now. Let's listen to Cut 16.
I just want to end it. You know, we're not losing American lives. We're not losing American soldiers. We're losing Russian and Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns. But, you know, if I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons. Well, I think I saved a lot of lives with India, Pakistan. They were going at it. The planes were being shot down. That was going to be maybe a nuclear war if I let that go. And I did that through trade.
That's terrible theology.
It is bad theology, but it is what a lot of people think. I was talking with Parrish. I played him this quote before, and his take was, and I'll tell you, he said something I hadn't thought of. It's possible that he doesn't understand the difference between sanctification and salvation.
You think?
Well, no, you joke, but hopefully that's the case, because the alternative is that he does understand and he doesn't care.
I think we're all speculating here, right?
Pretty much. I'm not. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do in a week on my birthday.
I think the Bible talks about only thinking about ourselves as probably one of the top issues that we have to deal with.
That's going to put me down on the totem pole.
At the bottom of Trump.
The advantage and disadvantage that Trump has oftentimes is you don't know when he's jesting and when he's not.
Yeah.
When he says I'm way down on the totem pole, that is a funny thing to say.
Yes.
But his theology, I don't look for him for theology. I don't think anybody here does, right?
No.
It would be nice if he were an evangelical Christian, but he's not. So his theology sounds like, you know, you get to the end of your life and you add up your goods and your negatives, and then God decides whether you thumbs up or thumbs down on that. And that's not... I don't want to overanalyze what he was saying right there, but that's not the way that
the
gospel message works.
Like Wesley said, that's terrible theology.
Right. And we don't look to Trump for theology. Okay.
So, right.
That's
from a movie. A meme from a movie with us.
We didn't hire him to be. We didn't hire him to be a pastor in chief.
Right.
You hired him to be. I hired him. I mean, voted for him to be commander in chief of the country.
Well, listen,
I think his heart's definitely in the right place here. He wants to see this war end so that innocent people stop being killed. That's the serious part of what he's trying to convey right there.
The Bible does command Christians to pray for those who are in authority. So Christians, if you haven't prayed for President Trump in a while, not only pray for success in bringing peace to some of these situations, but pray for him, if he does not know the Lord, to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. It'd be a good prayer to pray.
Absolutely. And that was an interesting thing. What was he saying about totem pole?
He says he hears that he's at the bottom of the totem pole. When it comes, because in his totem pole, meaning if you're going to rank...
That's an
people,
Indian.
Yeah, if you're going to rank... The colloquialism here that we use in English is if you're going to rank people, then...
They deserve to get into heaven.
Yeah, totem poles are faces or figures that are
one
on top of each other.
Right.
At the top, right, the top being the one that you're going to choose, and then the bottom of the totem pole means you're the least likely of all.
Yeah.
That's at the bottom of his own
totem
pole.
I have a totem pole at my house, okay?
As all of us do.
it's a family tradition, and so my wife's at the top.
Where's Wesley?
Wife's at the top, and I'm second on the totem pole. But, I mean, it's my yard, right?
Right, and, you know, like everybody.
My totem pole.
Is Wesley on it?
And you allowed yourself to be at the second, right?
Well,
in humility,
I mean, I put myself second, not first.
You put yourself.
I put my wife above myself.
And all of us, as we all do with our totem poles, is on our birthdays.
No.
We decorate them, And whose birthday is next? Oh, yeah, that's right, mine.
It's considered an Anglo totem pole.
Anglo.
Have you heard of this?
No, I have not. An Anglo totem pole.
It's a new thing. Yeah. Indians have their totem poles, and then
the Anglos have theirs.
Are
we Anglos?
Taking.
I still don't know.
Cultural appropriation.
That's it right there. I was going for that. Cultural appropriation.
Nobody else does that, right? All right. So what's your next story, Steve?
All right. How successful has President Trump been? It might help him get into heaven, too, if that's the way
you do it.
We already
covered this, Steve.
In controlling... So he's taken over the D.C. crime in the D.C. He's taken over policing. He's federalized the police. He's sent in the National Guard. And how successful has he been? Well, the people in D.C. think he's been pretty successful at it. And I want to play you somebody that that talked about that. This is President Trump is saying that Democrats... Did you play this? The Democrats are thanking him for sending troops into D.C.
No, we have not.
Cut 12.
We have a thing going on right now in D.C. We went from the most unsafe place anywhere to a place that now people, friends are calling me up, Democrats are calling me up, and they're saying, sir, I want to thank you. My wife and I went out to dinner last night for the first time in 4 years, and Washington, D.C. is safe, and you did that in 4 days.
The D.C. Police Union is backing up this story. They tweeted out on their official Twitter post, D.C. crime since the announcement of federal controls versus 7 days before. So the 7 days leading up, this is a very narrow snapshot, 7 days leading up to control and the 7 days since he took control, robbery was down 46%. Assault with a deadly weapon, down 6%. Carjackings are down 83%. Car thefts are down 21%. Violent crime down 22%. Property crimes down 6%. While federal assistance gives us a broad boost, we must appeal to the misguided Comprehensive Policing and Justice Reform Act in order to make these changes permanent. He's talking about the way that they record crime in D.C. It's been off.
So let me understand this. The National Guardsmen, who are 1,000 of them,
I think
they're in Washington, D.C., from different states. And I noticed yesterday Mississippi is sending, that's our home state here, sending some of our National Guardsmen there. So various states are rotating, it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Their Guardsmen go into the District of Columbia. So do you know if they're like stationed all over the city, like different, you know, like every block or two, huh?
800, approximately 800 are in Washington, D.C.
Okay. So that would definitely cut down on crime. Yeah. If they're like posted at every block, you know what I'm saying? You got a National Guard truck.
I saw
the criminals are not going to be out on the streets.
A video of the National Guard. It's a handful of National Guards. They were actually patrolling. It may have not been the National Guard. Anyways, it was a video in D.C., and what they were doing was they were patrolling as opposed to reacting.
Right.
And which is what, when I was growing up, is called a patrol car. Because
they're patrolling then.
Yeah,
they're keeping the criminals off the streets. Visual impact will keep the criminals off. Mm-hmm.
I am wrong. It's 800 D.C. National Guard troops.
There's way more.
Almost 1,000 from elsewhere around the country. So close to 2,000.
Yeah.
So I think this is a standard you're not going to be able to. I can't say that D.C. should have done this. I don't know that they have enough police on their force to do this. So to say that, well, why didn't they do this? We would have had to. I don't know that they have enough police personnel to patrol every corner like they seem to be doing now. So that might not be fair, but D.C. has been at the top of the list of people who have defunded their police force, and they are way short of police officers, and that is a making of the D.C. mayor and the board there. So,
as well as whatever policies they have in place that fail to punish people who commit crimes,
right,
instead letting him out with no cash bail or very lenient policies on who spends time in jail when convicted, how many times you can be convicted and then get back out.
That's going to change because Jeanine Pirro is now in charge.
Yeah.
Of
hey, I've seen videos like y'all have, like people sent, you know, I don't know if they're Instagram or TikToks, but they're little short videos, and I've seen at least two of people who were citizens of the District of Columbia, clearly Democrats. I think you have to be a Democrat in order to live there.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm like 95, 98%.
Oh, yeah. It's
are Democrats.
Blue.
And they were saying, thank you, President Trump.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can finally go out to eat dinner here without feeling like we're going to get carjacked.
Yeah. Democrats don't want to get mugged and robbed.
No, they want safety
either.
Too.
Yeah.
And so they're thanking President Trump for making Washington, D.C. safe again. So anyway.
So, yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, go. Next story, Steve.
All right, there's a very interesting web series up. It's a company called Jubilee Media that put this up, and it's called Surrounded.
Jubilee Media?
That's the name of
Jubilee.
The production company.
Yep. Like that?
So just like that. I think okay. They sing that, in fact,
Jubilee.
Every morning where they –
you never heard that yet?
I have not.
We have our devotions in the morning. They sing that.
And I got to say, I wish I hadn't heard it now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway, this show is called Surrounded, and you put a person at a table that seats two, uh-huh. and then there's 20 people who have an opposite opinion of that person, and they race to see who can reach the seat first, and whoever gets down gets to argue with that person.
Right.
And I've seen Ben Shapiro on it, for example. And Charlie Kirk, you get all kinds of liberals. Well, they put Amanda Seales, who is a black activist and is known as the title of this was Black Radical Against Black Conservatives. And they say 20 black conservatives in the circle, and they got to kind of fight to see who got to argue with Amanda Seales. Now, Amanda Seales.
Seales or Sales?
Seales.
Because there was a Soupy Seales. You remember him?
Yeah, I do. This is Seales, S-E-A-L-E-S. Just to tell you a little bit about what her mindset is, she called Jussie Smollett noble. Even if it was a hoax, it was a noble thing to do. That's her radical. So anyway,
Amanda.
A young man, a young black conservative, we don't have his name, sat down to have a chat with her, and this is what it sounded like, cut 15.
For example, we have the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. We prevented Chinese people from getting citizenship and even entering the country. We discriminated against them and basically put them under apartheid, even here in the United States. Yet they have the highest median household income. How is that possible? How come they don't complain and feel entitled consistently to beg for reparations and beg for this?
Oh, young Matt.
Yet white people are the oppressors.
I'm not sure where your education came from, but they lied to you.
Stats don't lie, though.
Statistics lie all the time. If you're going to start your argument on stats don't lie, you've already lost the argument. They lie. They lie all the time.
Yeah.
One, comparing Chinese people who are immigrants that made a choice to come to the United States and comparing the continued effort of black people to ground themselves in a nation that continues to make impediments for them to show and live and exist in their true citizenship is a false equivalency.
I don't believe that happens at all. No one here is in.
Are you acting right now? Do you really believe this?
I'm telling the truth. There's no systemic racism that I've experienced here in America. What system is racist? I think the only racism we've actually seen recently, systemic racism that we've seen, is the application of systemic racism against white people.
Yikes.
This guy, this young man's my new hero. Listen, I'm just proud that there were 20 black conservatives that were willing to publicly come out and speak. We might have the new generation of Thomas Sowells, you know, who this young man clearly has been studying economics and some of the social sciences. But I would guess before Trump, most black conservatives, with certain exceptions that are well known, just would be afraid to speak out. But now they're bold. That was awesome.
Well, and then, of course, the Asians being denied opportunities at colleges because of diversity, equity, and inclusion, liberals are putting out those numbers because they're excited for it because they're equaling everything out. So that's not even – so when you say stats do lie, sure, some stats can, but the fact that – Asians are being denied opportunities at colleges because there's too many of them being too smart. That's just That's a fact across the board.
I guarantee you that Amanda Seals or Sales, Amanda Seals, I guarantee you she uses statistics when it suits her.
Oh, sure.
So
I have a question,
I don't buy her argument.
About what she said about Chinese people immigrating voluntarily. A lot of them now do, but do you remember, you wouldn't remember, but have you read about in the 1800s where the Chinese were slaves on the West Coast, Chinese slave gangs? I don't know how they got here. I don't know if we had a slave trade with the Far East like we had a slave trade with Africa, but I certainly don't think they're coming voluntarily to sign up to be
in a chain gang.
So they did. The Chinese, if you go back to the same era that the African Americans were slaves, there were Chinese slaves as well. So her analogy, her saying that you can't compare the two, I think they are directly comparable.
Yeah, this is, I'm just getting, this is old and tired and used up, oppression story. I mean, there is the opportunity in the United States of America today is wide open, and it has been for a long time, for anybody to succeed anywhere. That's just we are really the land of opportunity. Was that the case historically in America? No, that was not. It's very well documented, especially with the African American community. Slavery, lack of civil rights, lack of equal opportunity. But I'm going to tell you, in today's world, education is wide open to everybody. Job opportunities are wide open to everybody. And there is very, very little racism that exists today. And I would be the kind of person that this woman here, this Amanda Seals, she would say I might as well have a hood on.
Yeah,
because I'm a white Southern male Christian,
right?
Who probably oppresses black people. That's what she would say because I fit the stereotype, and I talk like one too.
Well, I would.
So just to finish. So what I would say was, I'm not aware of anybody, and I live in Mississippi.
Right.
The existence of true racism is almost non-existent today. Or if people harbor those feelings, they don't say anything.
Which means it's not systemic. If it's systemic, you're out front with it. Listen, the reason why Asian Americans in this country are so successful is because they have intact marriages.
Yes, families.
And intact families.
And they work
and
hard.
And their culture is you're going to work harder than anyone else, and you're going to study, and that's how you're going to get ahead, and that's why they're successful. And if you don't follow those rules, which apply because this is the way God made the world, if you don't follow those kinds of rules, you're not going to succeed. It doesn't matter what color your skin is.
The Asians are... who are here in the U.S. Are scoring higher on tests, generally speaking, than any other ethnic group.
Including white people.
Yeah, including white
people. So much for white privilege.
Are you looking at me?
Hey.
No, I mean saying so much for white privilege.
I'm a victim.
I know. No, you're right. You're right. So it's all about what you do with your opportunity.
Yeah.
Really. And even getting an education today, if you're from, whether you're white, black, or whatever, and you have good grades, then you have opportunity to get scholarships.
But if you're white, though, you can't do gene ads.
Yeah. That's right. You can't do gene ads. All right, talking about blue jeans.
Blue jeans.
Which
forgot what it was. It wasn't Old Navy, was it?
Yeah. No, we're running out of time. You'll be here tomorrow?
I will not. I'm off for a couple weeks.
You're going to embark?
I am, and happy birthday, Ed.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for remembering.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Keep listening to AFR.